on, that we maintain a Christ-like attitude when it comes to us dealing with our government officials. And so I was able to read a couple of these things that he sent to me. And so come to find out, they had Twitter in the 15th century. It was called the pamphlet war. Anybody heard of that? You need to Google that. It is surprising. And I'm not kidding, they had Twitter in the 15th century. It just came in another form. All right? So it's called the Lessons from the Reformation's Pamphlet War. And there's nothing new where. You should know. Oop. Twitter's not the first to do this kind of activity. These guys were. So that's interesting. Then this one that really is thought-provoking, The Rights of Conscience Inalienable by John Leland. You need to read that, all right? That has to do with, it's just a good read. And it's not, even though he would, is he a Puritan?
He's a Baptist, actually.
Oh, yeah, he is a Baptist fighting for the rights in Virginia. Yeah, you want to, it's a very good read because I'm being asked to sign these vouchers for not getting this vaccine for religious reasons, all right? And I really want to know why, because when you send that in, your business has every right to call me, okay? And so you're going to have to, I have no problem filling them out if you give me the right answer. And I'm telling you, here's one place you can find the right answer, okay? And so he does a great job on our conscience and the role of government, the role of even you and your children as far as violating conscience. And so that, then who's read The City of God and The City of Man? Anybody read that besides Joshua? How many pages is that? Okay, so this is going to be a year project. So there's only four of the chapters, books that I really need, because I really want us to see the similarities. When Paul is telling Titus to do these things, I want us to see the similarities and the difference of what was going on in the Roman Empire so that we don't put up such a fuss, or we understand that God's not asking us to do some martyrdom action, that it is something that they had to deal with and maybe even worse, and so that we feel comfortable with these words. Not that we have to feel comfortable, we just have to be obedient. The comfort may or may never come. We're supposed to do what God asks us to do, but trying to make those connections there. So as soon as I work that out, in other words, don't expect this sermon anytime soon, because I've got a couple other books I haven't even begun to read, and that one's going to...
Read.
All right, Sunday evening, we're good. All right, let's take your Bibles. Let's turn to Psalm 38. As I was studying Psalm 37, fret not, evildoers, Psalm 38 is next. And so I just went there. It's good. Let's stand. We're going to read a couple of verses, and then I'm going to explain something before we dig in here this evening. Psalm 38:1, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. So he's telling himself. You ever wrote yourself a note that said, don't forget this? Okay, David's writing this to himself saying, listen, I don't know how old I am now. He did, I don't. And but don't ever forget this lesson. Okay? O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. We'll cover the rest of this in the message. That's enough to get us going. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Lord, we are so grateful for Jesus Christ and for forgiveness of sins and for cleansing that goes very deep. Because, Lord, as this psalm is going to depict for us, sin can go very, very deep. And we are grateful for that thorough cleansing that takes away that unrighteousness and grants unto us your righteousness. Thank you for allowing us to confess and you forgiving. And we thank you and praise you in your Son's name. Amen. And you may be seated. All right. So, preamble, preface to this message. I do not suppose anybody to be having this condition going on in their lives currently. I'm not saying it can't, because obviously I'm not omniscient. I have no idea of what happens in your lives from day to day. But I want us, I'm doing this more for the purpose of making you aware of how distressed people can get in their sins, right? One of the reasons for biblical counseling is that sometimes when Christians go to a medical doctor who prescribes a medication to ease the discomfort that you're going through, it doesn't really help in the long run because it doesn't solve the problem, okay? If you don't address the issue, all you're doing is giving your pills job security because you're going to be in that distressful condition until you get this particular situation off your back, all right? And so, but I want us to see what can happen to people because the descriptions here are very, very vivid. And you may have felt these, you may not, but I'm making us aware that you may have somebody close to you right now that has felt these and is currently feeling them, and you go to them because you know them well, and you're like, something's not right with Jim, or something's not right with Sally. Could be something else, but if you know they're a believer, it could be this. The other thing is, it's going to be dealing about self-infliction of pain, or self-inflicted uneasiness. Don't be trying to drum up sins to explain your condition, all right? If you've confessed your sins and repented of your sins, then God has what? Forgiven you of your sins, all right? The matter is settled. It's done. So if as we go through here, don't be hunting for something to become uneasy about. If God has forgiven you, your guilt is supposed to be what? Gone. Okay? So this is talking about making myself self-inflicted uneasiness. And I think this is the best example of in the Bible, or at least one of the best examples. What if you had one of these moments, or like Peter here? Matthew 26:69. Now Peter sat without... This is the night of Jesus' crucifixion, or his night of his trial on the brink of his crucifixion. They've had the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, Jesus tells, or in that evening, Peter, you're going to what? And Peter says, no way. And he says, you know, these clowns over here, the other 11, they may do it, but I'm not going to do it, right? Even if I have to die. All right. We pick it up later in the evening. Now, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel, a 12-ish-year-old, that's what a damsel would be, came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied him. This time, he did it with a what? It's not, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It was cussing. Okay? I do not what? Okay. What are you feeling about 10 seconds after you say that? You're not feeling good, are you? Okay, this is what, and do you think Peter slept that night? Do you think he did good the next day? How long do you think this went on? I'm thinking until we had that incident recorded for us where they're out fishing and Jesus calls them in. I'm thinking this guy is probably, what do you think? Miserable? Not bad? Well, good. Miserable. All right? He just denied. He Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, right? And you just told a young 12, Molly, how old are you? 13, good enough. Molly just came up to you and said, do you know Jesus Christ? And you just said, never heard of the guy. Right? You're not feeling good. It's the point. That's what this psalm is about. David's going to give us a picture into, or an opening, a window into his soul. He's going to explain to you, this is what's going on. And here's the worst thing he imagines that could go on. Okay? This is what came, Psalm 6. And we have these different instruments, a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in your what? I know I messed up, but it's one thing to rebuke me, but don't do it how? Don't do it in your anger. Neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Instead, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak spiritually, and we're going to see physically. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are what? Vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? This guy, David, is in deep distress, and internally, he is hurting. He is not doing well, all right? We don't know what happened. We'll get to this in a moment about the different penitential psalms, but what would be the most obvious scenario in David's case? Bathsheba, okay? You talk about things getting out of hand. That got out of hand real quick, all right? This is how he feels, but this is his concern. God, please don't deal with me when you're what? Don't deal with me when you're angry. That's what he's praying for. That's the deepest possible anxiety that David can imagine going on, that God would deal with him in that particular emotional state. Please notice, David is not asking God to cease from chastening him. Okay? Rather, not to do it in his hot what? In his hot displeasure. David understands that he is what? He's guilty. All right. If you are a professing Christian and you sin against God and you feel nothing, something is very, very wrong. Okay? That's one thing we want to know. If you know of somebody who can sin, Bob was sharing with me, you don't know which one, so this is good. This maintains anonymity. About this guy professing Christ, doing all kinds of things no Christian should do. And I'm not saying he's saved or not saved, but he did it so nonchalantly, not even, and these weren't some minor things like not stopping at a stop sign. These were some biggies. If you are not crushed internally, there might be something very, very wrong with you spiritually. Because you shouldn't be able to sin again. You shouldn't be able to deny God and then just walk away like it was no big deal. He is supposed to be the Savior and King of your life. And if you can be so nonchalant, something is definitely wrong. So it's not bad that it's actually a good sign that your friend isn't feeling good. Okay? It would be worse if they sinned and they just walked away with it like nothing happened. So that's a good thing. But please note, David's not saying, God, don't deal with me. He knows he's supposed to be dealt with. Now, Psalm 38 is one of seven penitential psalms. And what I'm bringing that up is, we're not going to cover the other six of them, though Psalm 51 is another one, Psalm 6 is another one. We want to distinguish, and you want to get this down in case you have any friends in the Catholic denomination. The difference between penance and penitent, okay? Penance is denying oneself food, drink, or other necessity, or punishing oneself physically to obtain what? Or, what I remember, saying prayers. Here is one big problem with this. It doesn't necessarily require you to change your attitude toward any sin you did. Okay? I never walked out of confession thinking, I can't do that anymore. All I walked out was knowing, you know, if I'm going to do this again, this is what it's going to cost me. It's going to cost me 10 Hail Marys and a couple Our Fathers. That's what the price for doing that is. Never did I walk out going, man, I'm really sorry I did that. Because all you're doing is trying to pay for what? What do you think you're trying to pay for according to that definition? Forgiveness. Right? That's penance. This is not a penance psalm. This is penitence psalm. Okay? Penitence is the action of feeling or showing sorrow or regret for having done wrong, then repenting. And repenting is, on cue, repenting is turning, changing your mind about what you've been doing. Okay? This is how a penitent heart looks. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow. So God is going to take the necessary steps to make sure this emotion comes out of you. What's the emotion that's supposed to come out of you? Sorrow. Okay? For godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance. To deliverance. That's the word salvation. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh what? You ever had to discipline your children? Dad, I'm sorry. And they were sorry they got what? Caught. I'm sorry that you have to spank me, but I am not sorry that I did this. Right? And so you have to use great discernment, and you stay there with that young person until you are convinced that they have changed their what? Their mind. All right? So do you think God's going to do the same thing to you? Do you think he's going to stay with you? Not if you just cry out because you're tired of the discomfort you're in, and so you want relief. God's going to stay with you until you what? Change your mind. Because a parent would be a very poor parent to allow their child to continue doing this disobedient thing or this unruly thing time after time after time and not getting to the core of the issue. That's not good parenting. That's very poor parenting. And if we understand that as human beings, then certainly God understands that exponentially more. He's going to deal with us until we have been totally convinced in our minds that the action that we did was what? Wrong. And we're not going to do it again by the grace of God. So that is godly repentance. And that's what these psalms are after. They're not after penance. All right? Martin Luther, I think, is the greatest example. If you want to understand penance and how it doesn't work, he is studying the book of Romans. And the book of Romans deals extensively with what topic, spiritual topic? Justification. Being declared right in whose eyes? God's eyes. And he comes to understand, how does that happen? That happens by faith in who? Christ. So he is crawling upstairs on his flesh and on the flesh of his knees, and these stairs are not smooth cement, and they're cutting up his knees, and he's beginning to bleed. He is doing what? Penance. He's trying to earn what? Forgiveness. And he gets so far up, and he's just stops. And he says, my words, what am I doing this for? If justification comes through faith in Jesus Christ and him alone, right? Then why am I crawling up these stairs trying to garner God's forgiveness? And he stops. And that is the beginning, far as I can tell, of what movement? the Reformation. Okay? So that's a very classic example, the difference between penance. God's not after penance with David. He's after having a penitent heart. All right, we don't know what the exact event is behind the psalm, but what is going on throughout most of the psalm? So we're going to take a look at these verses. And I want you to know how this person is feeling, how David is feeling. Verse number 2. For thine what? Arrows stick fast to me, and thy hand is pressing me sore down. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thy anger, neither is there any rest in my because of my what? All right? For my iniquities are gone over my head as in a heavy burden. They are. I don't know what you felt when you got saved, because this verse is prompting me to say this. Did you not feel like a weight was lifted? I did. That's not a sign of anything, but it matches with this. Sometimes you feel like that heavy weight is on you and you're relieved from it. This is what it's talking about. David felt like if this was Bathsheba, and there's a whole cascade of events, right, that happened with Bathsheba. It wasn't one. It just snowballed into all these things. My verse number 5, my wounds what? My wounds stink. Now, he hasn't been physically hurt, right? So this is going on in here. Was David cut with the sin with Bathsheba? Was he ever injured physically? No. You ever been by gangrene? It's the most putrid smell, in my opinion, on planet Earth. Worse than a pig pen or a chicken coop. And he's saying, this is what I feel inside because of my what? Because of my sin. All right? This is why people need biblical counseling. You can see them going to a doctor and explaining it. And many doctors won't take the time, some will, to listen to you. They're all too willing to prescribe you a what? A pill. But if you haven't worked your way through this, what happens is your brain goes, you feel all right, but you know what? Inside, you still stink. We don't know what's going on. We feel great. Your brain's warning system for not feeling good is to let you know that something is what? Wrong. But they just gave you a medication to tell your brain you're all right, but your brain's not dumb. Your brain's smart and saying, but you still stink. And that's why until you deal with that issue, you're not getting off your medication. You're giving your medication job security because you're always going to feel that. Okay? Again, don't bring up something in your life that's already been forgiven. Okay? We're not looking for false guilt trips tonight. We're looking to understand what might be going on in someone else's life that you know, or maybe you have had this experience. Okay? I am, verse 6, I'm in troubled. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. When you see somebody who's normally upright bent over like this, what can you assume? Something's wrong. Okay, right? I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore what? Broken. I have warred by reason of the disquietness of my heart. That's why people don't get any what? Any rest. They toss and turn day and night. There is no sleep that comes to them. And in this case, if this is the sin with Bathsheba, God's doing it until David does what? Repents. And that's not going to happen if this is in chronological order. That's not going to happen until Psalm 51. Okay? Lord, verse number 9, all my desires before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of my eyes, it is also what? This guy is in physical what? He's a mess. Now, what caused this physical mess? Something physical? Something spiritual. Okay? This is why biblical counseling is needed. I haven't been involved in too many cases to speak authoritatively on it, but I've been involved with enough to understand sometimes you have to dig really deep, and it takes a while before even the person comes to realize that this, what they thought was the issue, isn't the issue. It is something that they actually did and they had not addressed adequately. And so therefore, it needs to be addressed. And once it is addressed, it's amazing what happens to the person. Okay? But this is what can happen. And we need to understand that. You have friends that you know well enough, right? If you saw them exhibiting verses 2 through 10, do you think you would know something is not right? Now, it could be a physical condition. It could be an imbalance somewhere. That's true, all right? They may need to see a medical doctor. But if they're a Christian, the first thing you want to talk about is there anything that has gone on in your life? Right? If this gentleman that someone just told me about tonight is doing the things he's doing and is truly a Christian, at some point in time, the weight of all that unrighteousness is going to come crashing down on him. Okay? And he is not going to feel good if he is a true believer, because whom God loves, he what? He chastens. Because he wants them to repent. Right? He wants them fully and totally right with him. Right? Now notice, David is not complaining due to the fact that God's response is not justified. David is not saying, God, you shouldn't do this to me. We didn't read that, did we? No, we didn't. He is totally okay with God dealing with him. He just doesn't want, according to Psalm 6, he just doesn't want God doing it how? In anger. What else is going on? Verse 11 and 12, my lovers and my friends stand aloof, from my sore and my kinsmen stand how? They also that seek after my life lay snares for me, that they seek my hurt, speak mischievous things, and imagine deceit all the day long. Even his friends are doing what? Getting away, right? Avoiding him. So you have to be careful, because there was another guy that didn't look really good either, and his name was Job. And his problem isn't what? But his friends think what? It is. See how you have to be careful. And that's why we're not looking to impose any false guilt tonight. All right? Job did nothing what? But he's just as mess, but his mess is really internally and externally. That's a whole nother set of issues. And many times your friends are confused. This is happening and they can't recall any sin. And they can't understand why God would what? Allow it. Just, was that not Job's situation? And so you have to be careful. And so they sit there and they're trying to recall, and they recall. Normally you and I have a couple of sins that really just hang on. We were really erroneous. We really did some unrighteousness. And they sit, they were some biggies, and they sit in the back of our mind. And we just cannot get over, maybe, that God would do what? Forgive us. And so every time something happens, we think, oh, I'm getting payback for doing blah. And God's answer to you is, no, you're not. All right? But if you are uneasy and you do know and your conscience is telling you, listen, you have never repented of this. You have never stopped wanting to do this. Then you need to deal with it. Okay, is that making sense? The distinguishing between the two? Because they're very similar in their symptoms, aren't they? But they're very different in their cause. All right, so there's his friends and those who aren't necessarily his friends. And this is how David responds. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that openeth not his mouth. Thus I was a man that heareth not, and whose mouth are no reproofs. He just stood back and he was silent. He didn't say anything. And you know what? That's a good posture in a certain sense. Because you don't want to take God to the bargaining table. Okay? And when human beings are in distress, we love to take God to the bargaining table. And what's usually the bargain? God, if you heal me, right? Then how's it go? I will. Well, you ought to I will without going to the bargaining table. And number two, you have nothing to bargain with God. All right? It's just best. He just stood there and said, you know what? I'm guilty as charged. I'm going to shut my what? My mouth. All right? That's a great posture when you're what? Guilty. And that's when you know, when you're dealing with children or somebody else, when they shut up, then you know they understand. When they keep running their mouth, they haven't what? They haven't got it. Now, why is he become still in verse 14? Because what he knows about God in verse 15 through 20. For in thee, O Lord, do I what? I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, what? Hear me. Right? Isn't that our concern? Maybe God didn't what? Hear me. That's why the answer to the prayer is not coming. And the truth of the matter is, before you even speak, God what? Heard you. And the New Testament believer, even if we don't know what to say, somebody else is saying it for us. And who's that? The Holy Spirit. Okay? For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me. When my foot slippeth, they magnify themselves against me. And I guarantee you, you have some people that are watching you that are not believers, and they will be all too happy to see you fall. Verse 17, for I am ready to halt, all right? I'm ready for stopping. And my sorrow is continually what? Now, according to what we looked at in 2 Corinthians, is David ready to repent? What do you think? Yes, he's what? He's sorrowing. He's not doing penance. He has sorrowed to repent or penitential heart. Okay? My enemies are lively and they are what? Strong. Oh, verse 18. For I will declare my what? I will be sorry for my. He's repenting. And I'll tell you, in biblical counseling, sometimes you have to pull it out of them. That's not ideal. It still works. It would be better if they just would freely what? Tell you. Or they don't have to tell me. Confess it to God. But my enemies are lively and they are strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are what? Who loves you when you're in this condition? There's one person I know who loves you in this condition. My enemies are lively and strong, and they that hate me wrongfully are multiplied. Who loves you in this particular condition that we find David in? Satan does, right? Is he going to let you get out of this without putting up a fight? No, he's going to allow you to come up with all kinds of what for why you did this? Excuses. Because as long as I can keep multiplying the excuses, I'm not going to what? I'm not going to repent. It's not my what? It's not my fault. These kids, this job, this economy, this spouse, these children, this whatever. As long as Satan can keep you coming up with the excuses, you're far from sorrowing to repentance. They that also render for evil, for good, are my adversaries, because I follow the thing that is what? Verse 21. Forsake me, O Lord, and would he ever, if you're his child? No. That's your comfort. He's not going anywhere. He's not left you. He's not one step further away from you than when this began. Because if you're in Christ, you are always where? In Christ. Forsake me not, O Lord. O my God, be not far what? And that is that even possible with a believer? Can God be far from you? No way. But that's how you what? That's how you feel. Because you're in such distress. And in this case, David knows he's done what? He's done wrong. Make haste to help me, O Lord of my... He's not far away, is he? No. And so, this psalm... Remember the heading? A Psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Don't what? Don't forget this. Okay? Again, I'm not implying that anybody here is in this condition. But there are people in this world in this condition, and we need to know how to handle it. We need to know the difference between penance and penitent. Okay? Penance is no change. You don't have to have 1 ounce of a change of heart. You go do your, you go pay your forgiveness. And then if you get really good at it, you calculate it. What's it going to cost me to do this sin? Okay? That's what it amounted to. I'm not saying everybody in that faith thinks that way, but that's eventually as a young person, you figure it out. And it doesn't lead to repentance. This is what God is after. And if you know somebody hurting like that, it could be their Job, right? Got to be careful. Could be their Job. Could be their David. And once you distinguish the two, you're going to know how to help them. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for not leaving us nor forsaking us. Thank you for filling our hearts with joy and peace and tranquility when we walk with you. Lord, this road can get rough. And Lord, everyone in this room knows what happens when we sin. Our conscience is pricked, and Lord, we are uneasy about it until we have confessed it to you. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see if we have friends or neighbors or loved ones in this condition, and be able to help with a humble heart. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.